Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we've been talking about unshakable faith. We've been talking about how to believe that God is true, how to believe his promises are true, and to build our lives upon that for such a time as this. Today we're going to be looking at the life of Moses. We're going to be looking at overcoming the obstacles to faith. Hebrews 11, and starting with verse 23, it says, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible." And so Moses right here, he gets a lot of publicity here in the hall of faith. From the start of his life to the end, his life is epic, and yet he is much more human than you may think. So we want to talk about the obstacles that Moses, he faced, and the obstacles you and I face when it comes to having unshakable faith. To do that, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 3, where this call really develops, where God has this one-on-one conversation with Moses. You know, anytime something is burning and that fire will not go out, it's God trying to get our attention, and that's exactly what happens here in Exodus 3:10. God is going to give Moses an extraordinary opportunity, and here it is, Exodus 3:10. "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." You see, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is a now-or-never situation for Moses. It was an opportunity for Moses to let his life count for the one true God. It was an opportunity that demanded that Moses would step out in faith. It was an opportunity that demanded Moses take risk. It was an opportunity that Moses needed to follow God into unknown territory, and that he would do it with no human security, but only the promises of God to support him. Because we're talking about this in the year 2020, there is no suspense. We know how this story plays out and that Moses wins, and thank God for that. But between the call of God in chapter 3 and when Moses finally decides to go in chapter 4, there's a whole lot of excuses and obstacles, a great internal struggle that we see play out. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you have that internal struggle about trying something new based on something you've done in the past. And so if it's all right with you, I just want to show you probably the highlight of this summer for me. This is something that I did about 2 weeks ago. Can we just show that for a second? That's not me laughing, that's my kids. So much fun, inflatable slides. This thing was huge, though, and I was a little scared to climb up it. And the reason I was is because I had another experience with an inflatable slide in our backyard earlier this summer, and if I could just show you that as well. So Moses, his decision to go out and obey God was not some clean, easy, simple choice. You see, Moses struggled because he has fears just like we have. He has doubts like we have. He has real misgivings. God was trying to get Moses to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I'll step out. Yes, Lord, I'll take the opportunity that you're offering to me. Yes, Lord, I will take the risk. And Moses ends up saying yes, but there were certain obstacles that he had to overcome. Moses didn't simply say, yes, God, I've been waiting for you at this burning bush. It's go time. No, he had lots of excuses to overcome. And maybe they're the same obstacles that you face in your life. So I want to look at each of these barriers to his faith and look at the solutions that God has for each one. You see, God has opportunities for each of us as followers of Christ. If you know God as your Savior, God brings opportunities each and every day. Sometimes they're big ones. You're minding your own business, and someone challenges you. You're going to go out and become a missionary. Or maybe God prompts you to start a new business. Then there are the everyday kind of opportunities, the chance to share the gospel with someone, the chance to disciple a new believer, maybe just someone that's hurting and you can offer practical help. Whether it's a big opportunity or small, they all demand faith. They all require risk. And one thing you'll find is true of all of these opportunities is they never come back. If you miss the opportunity for that day, it is done for that day. And so you and I, as God's people, we need to be ready and prepared to seize the opportunities God brings our way right then, right there. As we talk about these barriers of faith, I face them and you face them. And God records this conversation with Moses at the burning bush for our comfort and for us to get answers. Every one of the answers is simply this. God is saying, Moses, take your eyes off of yourself and put them on to me. The solution to every barrier in our life is to take our eyes off of ourselves and to put our eyes on Christ. And so let's look at the first barrier that Moses has to face to have faith. The first one is his past failure. This was a big one for Moses, and this is huge for so many of us. Remember, Moses had tried once before to start a revolution. He had tried once before to set his people free. It didn't go so well. As a matter of fact, Moses, he starts his ministry with a murder. And so if you ever doubt, you know what, can God use me in ministry? You have your answer. Yes, he can. See, Moses, he had tried this once, and he had failed miserably. And now he's had 40 years to think about it. He's had time to rehearse it in his mind over and over again. What would I have done differently? He's out there in the hot sands of the desert. He wasn't much different than us. How we replay the past. You know what? That job interview I was so certain of, and it led nowhere. The relationship fell apart and broke our heart. Or that attempt to share our faith, and it fell flat. It's kind of like the football player that drops the ball in the end zone, and he keeps replaying that in his mind. And years later, those memories can be just as vivid and real, and maybe more so than on the day they actually happened. You see, Moses was not that unusual. And Moses, he's living under this cloud of failure. He had become so sure that he was all washed up for God, and Moses had become a prisoner of his past failure. And so past failure is the first barrier we all need to get past. It's why Moses, at the burning bush, he responds with this disbelief. God says, come on, Moses, I'm going to send you before Pharaoh. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And here we see that his focus is on himself. And he says, Lord, who am I? Now that sounds like an incredibly humble statement. It sounds very spiritual, but this is actually an incredibly unspiritual statement because what Moses is doing is he's voicing self-condemnation and self-doubt. You know, there's nothing wrong with a little self-doubt if it causes us to lean on Christ more, but that isn't what's happening here. With Moses, his self-doubt has simply settled down into his life, and now he's paralyzed. It's led to spiritual paralysis. And so Moses, he becomes so occupied with past failure, he could not respond to the call of God. And I love what God says to Moses. He says in verse 12, he says, I will be with you. God says, okay, Moses, so you may feel like you're not up to the task. Okay, yes, Moses, you did blow it once. Okay, Moses, so yes, you did fail, but I'm going to be with you. And I believe the very last thing that Moses felt at that moment is that God was with him. Remember, God, I'm the one who drops the ball. Remember, I'm the one who blows it. And he says, Moses, I will certainly be with you now. Do you see what God is trying to do to Moses? He's trying to say, Moses, would you take your eyes off of yourself and put your eyes on me? Would you take your eyes off of the failure and onto my forgiveness? Would you take your eyes off your insufficiency to my sufficiency, off of your limitations to my unlimited power? He's trying to get Moses to look at God and not himself. Moses, would you forget about your weakness? Would you forget about what's happened in the past? Look at me. Certainly, Moses, I will be with you. Look to me. And I wonder how many of us were AWOL over this very issue of having failed in the past. You know what? I tried to serve God in the past, but I wiped out. I wonder how many of us are paralyzed by past hurts. God's trying to say desperately to us, I get it, that you've blown it, that you failed, but now come on, get up. I'm going to go with you. Let's try again. You know, when we serve God and we stumble and we fall, that is not a tragedy. But when we stumble and we fall and we fail to get back up in self-pity, to refuse to say yes to God from that point on, that is the tragedy. And listen, God is not content for you to spend the rest of your life washed up. God is not content for you to be out of service for the rest of your life. God wants you. God needs you back in the game. He wants to lift you up. He says, you are forgiven, and now I will go with you. You see, people who stumble and they give up, they're a dime a dozen. But the one who stumbles and they get up, that is exactly the type of person that God is looking for today. The second barrier that Moses overcomes to his faith is, I don't know enough. I don't know enough. Verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the Lord of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I say to them? God, I don't know your name. I don't know your character. I don't know all about your ways. I don't know how this plan unfolds. I don't have all the answers to their questions. Lord, what am I going to say? And what Moses is really struggling here is this feeling, I don't know enough. The feeling of ignorance or a lack of spiritual experience. Lord, I'm not sure I know enough yet to pull this off. I need to learn a lot more before I go lead in Exodus. You know what? Maybe I need to go to Bible college. Maybe I need to go to seminary, Lord. Maybe I need to first learn Hebrew. Oh, wait, I already know Hebrew. But whatever, Lord. I don't know enough to do this. You better get somebody other than me. Do you have any idea how many times that God hears this excuse? Lord, I'd like to share my faith. I'd love to tell people that you love them, but I don't know enough. I mean, maybe they ask a question, and I'm just going to ruin their faith for all time, so I best be quiet. If you've ever been tasked with finding volunteers for a ministry or serving, I guarantee you have heard this. I don't know enough. You know what God's response to Moses was? Verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. Some of you are looking like, how is that even an answer to the question? What he's saying is, Moses, forget what you don't know. Forget about the experience you have or do not have. Moses, I am sovereign. Moses, I have my plans all laid out. Don't worry about wrecking my plans. Just go do what I have told you to do. The following verses are filled with God's sovereignty, saying, "These are my plans, and I will visit you, and I will give you favor, and you will leave Egypt, and you will go into a promised land." And you'll notice all of these things are completely dependent upon God and not Moses. God is saying, "You know what, Moses, your lack of experience or your ignorance does not change my plans one bit." God is telling Moses the exact same thing he told Isaiah. Isaiah 46:10. He says, "I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." You see, Moses, it doesn't really matter what you do not know. The only thing that matters is that you know that I am and that I have a job for you to do. And whatever you need to know, Moses, I will let you know at that time, just as we go along. Now just get out there and do it. And again, God's solution for Moses is to take your eyes off of yourself and put your eyes upon God. That is the solution. If this is your problem, you know what? I don't know enough, God. God has the same solution for you. Would you take your eyes off of yourself and onto Him? Would you take your eyes off a lack of experience? Forget all of that. Simply know that God is I am, and He has a plan for your life, and He is sending you forward. The solution to I don't know enough is the sovereignty of God. Moses, he didn't know how to run an Exodus. He'd never led one before, and that's okay, because you know who did know how to lead an Exodus? God. You may not know how to do everything that God is calling you to do. You probably won't. But God doesn't want you to know everything. He wants you to depend upon Him. The important thing is that God knows how to do it. And if He calls you to do it, then God is bigger than any inexperience or lack of knowledge, and thank God for that. If you know John 3:16, you're ready to leave these doors and lead someone to Christ. You have everything you know. You may say, "You know what, but what if they ask me a question in the Bible and I cannot answer that?" Let's get real. People don't get saved because you know all the answers. People get saved because the Holy Spirit is in you and working, and you're a surrendered vessel. No one here got saved because you found someone who knows all the answers. You know what? If you know that God loves children, you're ready to start working in kids' ministry today. You know, I've got news for you. Kids will not remember the lesson that you teach them. We have great teachers here, but they will not remember 1 week later what you said, but they will remember the heart. You know, there's a lot of weeks where I don't remember what was taught the previous week, and I was the one teaching. See, we forget what is said from week to week, but we don't forget heart. We don't forget the spirit in which it was done. And so God, if He's calling you in faith to step out and do something, then you know enough to do it. The third barrier to faith, unshakable faith, is a fear of failing in the future. Chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Now, why was Moses so sure that this was going to happen? Because this is what the people did the first time. The people came to Moses and said, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us?" Moses knew exactly this was a hard group of people to establish authority over. Thankfully, this isn't an issue in our culture, so I'm quickly moving on in the text. You see, Moses would tell you the joke, "You know, if I get two Hebrew people together, I get three opinions." You see, God, on multiple occasions, He said, "These are stiff-necked people." You know, Moses, he knew what he was getting himself into. He didn't say, "Lord, they might not believe me." He said, "Lord, they will not believe me." See, "Lord, it was tough enough for me to recover the first time I blew it and they rejected me. I don't want to go back and do that again." God, I don't want to go back and make more mistakes. Now, God had told Moses in Exodus 3:18 that the elders of Israel, they will listen to you, but Moses didn't believe it. And so his barrier to faith is, I'm going to fail again in the future. And what is the solution to believing I'm going to fail in the future? It is to believe God is going to give me power. And so God, he gives Moses a staff, a rod, and he says, if you throw it down, it becomes a snake, and it did. And he picks it back up by the tail of all things, and it becomes a staff again. The second sign is he said, I want you to stick your hand in your coat. He pulls it out. It's all leprous. And then he puts the hand back in and it comes out healed. And third, he says, if you're going to take water from the Nile and pour it out, it will turn to blood. So God says, Moses, I'm going to give you these signs. It's signs of my power and they will believe you. And I don't believe all these signs were simply given for the benefit of the people. They were given for the benefit of Moses. God is saying, Moses, I'm going to put my power into your life. I'm going to give a power in your life that's going to overcome not only the mistakes of the past, but it's strong enough to overrule any mistakes of the future. And yes, you will make mistakes, but so what? If I can turn a rod into a serpent, if I can make a hand leprous or clean, if I can turn water into blood, I can overrule any mistake you may make. And so Moses, do not worry about the mistakes. Keep your eyes on me. The only mistake that you and I can ever make that God cannot overrule is when we say no, when we refuse to step out. But if you're willing to step out and you're willing to trust God and you're willing to take the risk, there is nothing that you can do that God cannot overrule with his power. And so please hear me. When you are serving God, mistakes are not fatal. God in his power and in his grace loves to overrule mistakes. And again, God says to Moses, take your eyes off of you and onto me. Psalm 37:23 says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Did you catch that? Let our mistakes, our stumbles, are not fatal because the Lord upholds us with his hand. And if you're walking with God, if you're a child of God, he's holding your hand, and yes, you will mess up, and yes, you will stumble, but God will hold you up. You're not going to fall headlong. Now, once I saw this happen during a wedding. And so ever since then, I always tell myself when I walk up here, whatever you do, don't trip. But you see, God doesn't want his children holding back in fear. No, God wants his children charging ahead, knowing that he's holding their hand. And any mistakes made in honesty, God will overrule. There's two more barriers to faith. The fourth one is just a lack of ability. Moses felt he lacked the ability to lead the Hebrew people. Exodus 4:10, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Now, this may look like a superficial excuse that Moses is giving. Moses is certainly not having any trouble being eloquent, talking to God at the burning bush, and listing off all of his excuses. But perhaps there is something to what Moses is saying, because in those days, eloquence was equated to power. Moses was going to have to go into an Egyptian court and stand before Pharaoh, the mightiest king in the world at that time. And he was going to have to debate and go head to head with Pharaoh and his advisors. And in a court, there was protocol and etiquette. There was a way to do it. There was a wrong way to do it. And I believe Moses was afraid to go back into that court, appear before Pharaoh, because he didn't know what to do, and therefore he couldn't confront Pharaoh and his advisors in power. So this is a legitimate concern on Moses' part. You may be thinking, but wait, didn't Moses grow up in the palace? Wasn't he trained in Egypt? So if anyone should be able to talk to Pharaoh, wouldn't it be Moses? And you're correct. But that was 40 years before. But now Moses, he has been a shepherd out in the desert, and it's pretty hard to stay sharp when the most intelligent thing you've heard in 40 years is bah. You know, it's entirely possible that Moses hadn't even spoken Egyptian in 40 years, because he wouldn't have spoken it to Jethro, he wouldn't have spoken Egyptian to his kids, he wouldn't have spoken it to the sheep. So it's possible he hadn't spoken Egyptian in 40 years. Now, what does God say to Moses? Verse 11, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? God is saying, Moses, take your eyes off yourself and put your eyes on me. Moses, who made your mouth the way it is? And God is rebuking Moses and saying, the abilities you have, the natural abilities you do or do not have, are the ones that I have selected for you to have or not have. Moses, forget about what you have or do not have. Verse 12, now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. God promises Moses, anywhere you lack ability, I will make up the difference. Moses, you just go, and I'll make up for whatever you lack. And God fulfilled what he said. Moses did go to Egypt, and he stood before Pharaoh, and he exchanged boldness for boldness, threat for threat, word for word, and he never backed down because God was speaking through his mouth. You know, the apostles, many of them were fishermen, they were poor, they were not educated, and yet they confounded the Jewish leaders of their day. Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You see, neither Moses or the apostles had the natural ability to do what they did, but they did it anyway. And the reason was God was with them, and God made up for what they lacked in ability. And God makes that same promise to you and I today. You have the exact abilities you have. You lack the abilities you lack because God has decided it so. But you have God's promise. Whatever you lack, God will make up the difference, whatever he calls you to do. You know what? God doesn't want you to have all the abilities that you need in life. Have you realized that yet? Zechariah 4:6 says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. God does not want his work done by human ability. God does not want his work done by human power. God wants his work done by the Spirit of God. And the only way for that to happen is for, on occasion, you and I to feel inadequate and for that to drive us to our knees and say, God, if this is really going to happen, it has to be you. There's one last hurdle to faith, and it is this: rebellion. Exodus 4:13. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else. Moses says, I don't care who you send as long as it's not me. He's simply telling God no. Now remember, God had not been asking Moses to go. God had been telling Moses to go. And now Moses is on the verge of flat out saying no to the will of God. And so how does God respond? Verse 14, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. You see, that's not good. God's patience has a limit, and now we're reaching that limit. So God goes on to say, you can take Aaron along, he will be your helper, but Moses, you're my man, I've given you the staff, now go. And so now we're down to just two choices. Either Moses will go or he won't go. He'll obey or he'll not obey. It's that simple. God had answered every objection. God made up for every bit of Moses' lack, There was only one condition. Moses, now you need to go. You know, Moses, he didn't have a middle name, but if he did, God would have used it right here. I don't know how your kids are, but there are occasions where I need to bust out the middle names, and then they know Dad's about at the end of his wick. I believe that Moses knew he was exhausting God's patience and that he better go. And that's where it comes down for all of us. Sooner or later, we reach that final place. Either I'm going to say yes or no, either I will obey or disobey. And so by faith, Moses. God reveals that the greatest leader in the Old Testament was really a man who was timid, often fearful, full of misgivings. He's not some superhero in a different league than you. He was just like us. But unlike some of us, he overcame the barriers to faith. God used him in a mighty way. Not because he was different than you and me, but because he was willing to step out in faith. And so today, God doesn't want to transform you into some kind of spiritual superhero. All God wants you to do is to step out in faith and say yes, and believe that God will make up the difference for my ability. God will make up the difference for what I know or don't know. You don't have to be any different today for God to be able to use you today. Simply take your eyes off of yourself and onto Jesus. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord Jesus, today I pray in faith. Let all sorts of barriers, all sorts of hurdles, obstacles will be obliterated. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are mobilizing the saints of this church, Lord, to go out and represent your kingdom and to live on mission. Lord, to lift up the name of Jesus that has all of the answers for our world today. Lord Jesus, I pray that just in moments of clarity that some of us would look back and say, you know what, that is what is holding me back. Maybe there is some past failure and we have internalized it, and instead of saying, you know what, I messed up, we say, I'm a mess up. Lord, for some of us, we're held back by what school we went to. Lord Jesus, it is not by might, it is not by power, it is by your Spirit. The only type of people you use are ordinary people. And so, Father God, I pray that that calling in people's lives would be stirred up today. God, I thank you that the plan of God starts today. There are things that you would have us do this day that will make an internal difference. God, I thank you for what you're going to do in these next few moments. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand with us? We're going to enter into a time of worship. But I do believe God has been speaking throughout this room. And you would say, you know what? I have been sidelined. There's been some barriers that Moses faced that I'm facing right now. And if that's you, I'm going to encourage you to step forward, meet me at this altar, and we're going to break that barrier and see faith come alive in your life. Let's worship now.